You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Yeah, you fucking onion head bass motherfucker. Let's go, motherfucker. Huh? Stupid motherfuckers. Let's rhyme, man. Brownsville. Teach y'all niggas how to rhyme. Yeah, felonious mom. Let's go. Yo, and yo, bitch homie. The Swiss army knife in my hand. Know this shit could be the hick and end the life of your family.
To Axe to Grind, the Hardcore Podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom. I thought we were gonna do that in like three-part harmony, like
a little barbershop. Mm. Yeah, I don't think I'm capable, Tom.
No, yeah.
All right.
Yo, let's just do sponsors real quick.
Let's
thank
go.
You too. Thank you too. To Live a Lie.
Oh, come on.
Run for Cover Records.
Oh, the boys.
And Close guess. Casket Activities.
Oh, big respect.
And Death Wish Inc.
You know, what can be said?
Closed Casket Activities, go to closedcasketactivities.com. Tom, they have a new little reissue out there.
Yes, for the first time in about a year, the Judiciary Surface Noise LP is available on lovely vinyl. There's two pressings. Second pressing, two versions. There's yellow and red mix with orange splatter, and metallic silver and black mix with a white splatter. Can I make a comment?
You may.
Of course.
That I did not tell you guys about before when we did our 30 seconds of pre-production.
Oh, yes. Is, what do they call it? He's going to sandbag me with. I'm going
to
be.
That's it. I'm going to do. What's that movie? Go out to your window and yell, like broadcast or whatever the movie.
Yes.
It's not broadcast, is it?
No, it's network.
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 As someone who's colorblind,
splatter looks like shit.
Well, no. Sometimes I have trouble. Like, so when I'm trying to like enter, like I use Discogs, so I know exactly what I have.
Yes.
And sometimes trying to figure out which version I have, not that easy.
Yeah. I had
and the labels don't put any kind of indication what you have.
I did not.
So you
know.
Like the sticker that says that, right?
I would prefer that. Like, this is literally like I came to the realization the other week. The only reason why I would probably enjoy a partner is to help me throw out heavy stuff and to help me tell me what color things are. And I think I sit there when I buy a new record. I'm like, I should just enter this in. So, you know, I just keep a running tally of everything.
Of course.
And I'm like, is this bone? Is this white? Is this piss yellow? I was like, I have no fucking idea. Right. And I would like to – if it's not that much of a financial burden – if I could ask our friends at the labels, maybe put a sticker.
Sticker's good.
Because that was a thing at one point, right? Wouldn't it say like...
Yes.
Yeah. And it's I just find it very difficult. And I don't know if maybe I'm the only weirdo. But the second press, they revamped the LP jacket, new color scheme, and UV spot varnish, which...
Spot varnish. That's the thing beautiful. We love. We love spot varnish.
Makes it look...
Kind of has that, yeah, that matte glossy feel, metallic silver and black, and then the red and yellow mix with orange splatter.
See, those I can differentiate.
They look different enough. So shout out to Judiciary. Go get this record, closedcasketactivities.com. Also, go check out the Living Weapons 7-inch, which is one of the fellas from Vain doing something that would make sense to most fans of Vain and also is heavier and maybe crazier sounding, has kind of a old converge feel to me, maybe. So check that record out. I think it's called, is it called Paradise? I don't know. The Living Weapon 7-inch that's available through Closed Casket Activities.
It was called Paradise.
There we go. Next up, Death Wish Inc., deathwishinc.com. Guys, did you know Death Wish Inc. is moving... They're moving. Moving locations, moving sale. So they have been selling to help finance the move and, you know, just make things easier when you move. Y'all, you alluded to this, having the benefits of a partner moving heavy things. I've moved cross country with a record collection it makes you go, why am I owning these things?
I mean, denser than a black hole. It's awful.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so to that end, Death Wish has decided to open their vaults, help unload some of their good stuff, some of their high quality items, including many, many test presses. So go to deathwishing.com. There's some links that get you right over to their eBay page. Test presses on everything from Bitter End to American Nightmare, Blacklisted, Code Orange, Cold Cave, Converge, Self-Defense Family.
Which, by the way, Trey posted, because he texted me, but our time differences, whatever, and I didn't pay attention. So, like, he was asking, hey, do you want any of these test presses before I sell them? And I did not respond. It was just time difference thing. And the then he posted it on Instagram. I reposted it, which was, hey, if you are or if someone you love played on a self-defense record, please, you know, just contact us if you want. And I had a bunch of people hit me and say, I'll take one. And I said, just pretend. You know, I mean, just write them and say, I played on a self-defense record. I'll take one.
I responded. I responded. I'm supposed to get a test press of these, because what Patrick might not know is that in the between time of end of year, soon to be self-defense family, signing to Death Wish, in the between time, I helped sell Trey on it, make sure he felt comfortable with it, kind of didn't push Patrick in front of a bus and go, no, man, super hard to work with. And part of those agreements were like, yo, if you sign this band, you got to give me a test press of every one of these records. And Trey said, all right, of course, no problem. Do you know how many test presses I've gotten, guys?
Up to this point?
Zero.
Yeah, I'm going with a zero.
Zero. I know.
It's time for him to make good.
What's up?
Honor the contract, the pact.
Honor the pact. All right. So go get the Death Wish Inc. vault items. And also, Death Wish Inc. recording artists, Greet Death, are doing a tour starting in July supporting the band Foxing. Foxing, kind of in that emo punkish scene, pretty well respected from our knowledge.
Yeah, so let's just be fair. This is none of our scenes necessarily. Like, I only know that Foxing is, to my understanding, they were one of the respected emo bands of that kind of the World Is era, you know, like that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then they went away for a time. And now, I think, if I'm getting this right, when they come back, people are psyched as fuck every time they do a new record, every time they do tours, people are like, oh, that band that is like the meaningful band, I will attend that. So
yes,
good dates, I'm sure.
Good dates. Go check out Greet Death. If you haven't heard their records, peep them as soon as you can. Deathwishing.com. Let them know we sent you. Guys, how we doing? How we feeling?
Good. Thank you. We're going to talk about a bunch of hardcore. I got a lot of questions, to be honest.
I love questions.
But there is
a bid on a test press. We're good.
Oh. Yeah, buddy.
Hopefully I win the guilty as charged Bitter End test press, but yeah.
Oh, I hope you do.
This is the first time I've used eBay in no exaggeration, probably 15 years.
Damn, love it.
I don't use it because it was too dangerous.
It's you can fall down any variety of holes on eBay. There's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, and you go, you know what I'd like? Oh, they have it. Cool. All right.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
$5 less in my bank account now. So I have two things to say. Firstly, this is a personal thing. I don't know if he'd appreciate me sharing it, but I had a conversation with my father where he's 79 years old and he got weirdly maudlin and sad, because it occurred to him that his folks split up when he was young, and it occurred to him that he had zero memory in his life of the entire family being in one place. So his mother and his father and him and his brother ever being in the same place, really. And they drove to this town in Vermont and he has a memory of none of that, right?
Yeah, none of his family memories, yeah.
And he was really sad about it. And he's not like a, I don't know how to describe this. He's got a direct way of expressing himself that it wasn't a literary conceit. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't trying to take me on a journey. He was just expressing that it made him sad. And I reflected on it, made me sad. So I was, my girlfriend who I intend to be with long-term marriage, all that stuff is her son. I was like, oh, I should focus on trying to not just be a good stepdad, but like kind of establishing it. So whatever, all this is, this is to say, I was like, yo, let's go out and play some disc golf because that's my idea of being a good stepdad. And
it's a good thing.
And I forgot, disc golf is really fun. Really fun.
Really fun.
I hadn't done it in like 15 years. And I was like, oh, this is... And by the way, I went to a guy's house who does disc golf mail order. It is weirdly fun. I get... Like, I don't collect vinyl, but I understand the appeal of something that is just like an attractive artifact.
Just looks cool, yes.
Yeah, just looks cool. Exactly right.
Yep.
Yo.
I mean, if you want to get into the real vinyl nerd conversation, like... So there's people who are crazy about it and scarcity and this and that. But my friends who are super into it, I think they know I'm into it, but not like, it's not, if my record collection burned up in fire, it's okay. It's not the biggest, it's not the end of the world to me. I don't have a firebox. Maybe I should, but I don't. But you know where I get them is I'm like, yo, you know what I like? Just records that look cool. And then you can get them going and they're like, yeah, me too. Because it's just this weird visceral thing. It can look really cool, and like the variations, and like, oh, there's only 12 of these that have this like smoke pattern, but it's like, yeah, but does it look cool? And it's like, yeah, it kind of looks cool. And then it's like, yeah, that's awesome. Are you thinking of the discs, Patrick?
I'm thinking the discs when you see
discs
them,
are so cool looking. They're so cool
when you see them in somebody, like, you know, he's a guy who has another career. But his family is kind of like well respected in the disc golf game. So he does mail order. And he's like, yeah, it's basically in the last year, disc golf has gotten bigger than it had in the previous 15. So now this thing that I started as like a, you know, a little extra money and keeps me in contact with the thing I really like doing. Now it's like a full-time job. But going into essentially a disc warehouse and seeing all these dumb pieces of plastic that I should
rainbow.
I should just be like, yo, we don't need these on planet Earth. This is, you know, this is never going to
kill a turtle in 20 years.
Right. But to be honest, these stupid pieces of plastic look really fucking cool and really fucking fun thing to do. For those of you that are
bang the chain, everybody.
Yeah. if you're looking for something to do that is, low impact, but gets you out of the house and you don't feel like paying for to actually go golfing. This would be a nice thing to do if you have.
You'd be surprised how many disc golf courses there are and how close there is to one to you.
That's a fact.
I promise you. I promise. Tom, there's four within 20 minutes of my house.
Really?
Yeah,
I feel like
two that are really good.
A new phenomenon because that, you know, that comedian Bert Kreischer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I actually saw. So Tom, I'm going to jump on because there's a funny thing that I saw, and then I'll let you finish. I saw what you're referring to. Tom's going to say he saw him. Bert Kreischer has been talking about this a lot. It's a thing that he really enjoys
on tour.
On tour, and then he went on Rogan and talked about it. So I'm always curious about how people receive hype. So I actually went to the disc golf Reddit to see if people enjoyed their sport getting the biggest like visibility that it's had in decades or not. They mostly do. And then predictably, there's some who do not. But here's last fact.
Because then three times are going to get thrown off.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But did you fellas know there are now at least two gentlemen making millions of dollars off of disc golf?
No, that's cool.
Are you one of them?
Wow.
No, I am not. And I
did you get in on the ground floor? No,
these fellas are so good, it's creepy. It's like they look like they're.
Oh, you mean like the athletes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pro tour. Yeah.
So the athletes, they get okay. Sorry, everybody. I had a long conversation with a professional disc golf seller the other day. So now
Pat is just giddy. He just can't believe his life.
Well, you know what I like to do? I like to share. Like if I came on this podcast and said, "Hey guys, I read a book," I do this to my poor fucking girlfriend all the time, and then I give all the details. I'm going to keep this really short. I go to this guy's house. We end up talking about disc golf. I haven't played in a decade. And he's explaining how big the sport has gotten since then. Occasionally, it'll end up on ESPN 7 or whatever. But an interesting part of it is. As more companies showed up, the old companies had to do more to compete, and there was an arms race to get any credible pro under your sponsorship. So the money went through the roof, and now there are dudes who make over $1 million throwing discs. How nice.
Who are we talking about? Paul McBeth?
I think one guy's name is Drew. Is that right? Look it up. I don't know.
We'll look it up. Shout out to disc golf. Everybody go do it. Patrick, in more interesting living in Australia news.
Wow.
Go on.
It's just trying to find, you went to a show.
I did.
First Australian show?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And neither of your bands played there yet, have you?
I've played Australia. I have not played.
Okay. Perth. Okay. There you go.
So, yes, I attended. Speed was the headliner. The others, direct support. In the 204, there was The Chain, and opening was Pinwheel. And this will be my pit report, if I can, on the Perth scene. This was a big show for Perth. So you had a lot of different types of people. You know, Speed is a big deal over here right now. If our listeners haven't checked out Speed, as I really hadn't until the week leading up to the show, it's totally worth your time. The immediate comparison people are going to make is TUI. And for good reason, there's a lot of that in the DNA. But it is, this is going to sound crazy. It's actually, to my ear, quite a bit heavier than Trapped Under Ice.
Okay.
So if you took the heaviest Trapped Under Ice songs, that would be in the vein of what they do, right? But where you're going to see very strong comparisons or very strong points of comparison is they do what. So a topic that is maybe its own fucking episode is distilling a band down to the things that are really special about that band. And for Trapped Under Ice, those songs are fucking great. There's no denying that. And they wouldn't have had the kind of recognition that they did if not for the fact that the songs are great. But you can't deny that the swagger was a huge, huge aspect of the whole thing. And
yes.
Speed's got the swagger. We're talking about trading instruments during the middle of the set, doing full arm flexes during the middle of songs, the whole thing is just swagger, high on swagger. And it really, multiple songs have the band's name in them. Can you ever go wrong with that?
You can't go wrong. TUI made a career off it. It was great.
That's what I'm saying. It's fucking dope. So anyway.
Beautiful. So did VOD.
That's true. So they were excellent. But let me go in ascending order. Pinwheel opened the show. I'm going to recommend to our listeners that they check this band out.
I like the name.
See, do you? This is rough. The only advice I gave them was the name sucks.
It depends on their sound. I mean, here's the thing. To me, Pinwheel, Tom, before we know anything what the band sounds like, band name is Pinwheel. What does it sound like?
I'm saying 90s emo.
Yeah. Like I'd say, I'd say maybe a little more. Yeah. I'd say maybe somewhere in the title fight range. But yeah, that's where
sure.
I'm going.
Yeah,
to
like that.
When I hear the word pinwheel. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
You're not entirely wrong, but I found it more interesting than. Here's what I'll say. There was songs where I could not tell if they were an alternative rock act that was just really steeped in post-hardcore, or a post-hardcore act that just had real alt-rock leanings. They had several songs that bordered on just straight kind of Renee Heartfelt.
Yep.
Like that
post-hardcore-ish, but on the heavy the emo side.
Yes, like on the heavier emo sort of thing. I thought that when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I bet that a lot of our listeners would be right in the pocket for this. So everybody should check out Pinwheel, and then The Chain. Chain was so interesting because it was an example of presentation dictating what I'm hearing. And what I mean by that is I asked somebody, oh, what's The Chain about? And they said heavy hardcore. And they're not wrong, but check this out. Tell me if this has ever happened to you. It starts and I'm like, okay, maybe this is like Brace War, something like that, you know? And then, but the singer is wearing I think he was wearing like a Swedish hardcore shirt. Talatar. And the PA is blown out, like way overdriven PA. That's just like, the PA was not appropriate for the show. And so I'm now watching this going Brace War. And then I'm going, European hardcore.
Sure. Yeah.
Because the presentation,
presentation plus, sound equals, you know, like, yo, there's a lot of bands on the heavy hardcore side. If you gave them full blown out distortion, ripped guitars and made the vocals sound.
Yeah.
It's going to,
it's a different thing. So
yes.
So I found it really fascinating from that angle. It was just on its own merits. It was good because it was heavy hardcore. And then, with very, very subtle rock riffing. You know what I mean? So you couldn't call it like rock and hardcore at all. It's heavy hardcore, but you were given enough personality that you can't just call it heavy hardcore. Does that make sense?
All right.
So
with it.
So that was good. And then the others played, and the others was, help me out so I don't sound disrespectful. Give me the band from Europe that's been playing for an awfully long time. I put them in the same category as like Down to Nothing sort of music.
No Turning Back.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, perfect. So, thank you, Tom.
So this had to me very No Turning Back energy in the respect that it's like high energy about how much we love hardcore, like everybody look out for each other, sort of positive. It reminded me of kind of like, I mean, to my preferences, it took what Down to Nothing does and kind of it had more elements that I like, because there was quite a few like proper, like almost Motorhead parts snuck into this. Like, I really enjoyed that. But here's what I enjoyed most about it. They've been a band for a long time, is my understanding. They sounded like a band that has been around for a long time. They fucking nailed. Like, when I say they nailed their parts, that sounds like the faintest of praise. What I mean,
no, but they were good. They did what they do, and it was like clear that this wasn't like, oh, let me figure out this song. It's like, no, this is what we're doing. Boom.
Yeah, it was really properly like a band, right? So that was cool. And then Speed was as advertised. It was lit as fuck, about kind of like how much fun can be had in a room. You know what I mean? Like, and really, really just good energy. So that's the pit report for the bands. And the scene report, people were really fucking friendly, and it had the energy. Somebody can write in and tell me if this isn't not accurate. It had the energy of people knowing each other for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, so small scene, everybody there. And it was a great introduction for me to go to a show of that type, right? Like, where some of the people that probably don't come out for very many shows came out to this one. So I saw, like, kind of like, and it's also, I'm sure you both have seen this a million times. It's one of those shows where, since everybody came out, there's like a kid wearing like a technical death metal shirt at this speed show, because it's, hey, there's a show. It's a big show. I'm going to the big show. It's not the type of music I like. I'm coming to the big show. So it was like just a cool thing for me to check out for my first show in Perth. So shout out to Last Ride. I apologize. I guess somewhere in the mix, I asked for two guest spots. And then when I don't know why I did that. Like, I meant a plus one. And
just
I asked,
in case.
I asked, sure. No, I asked for a plus one and somehow asked for, or no, I meant a plus one and somehow asked for a plus two. And then that's not a big deal to most people. When somebody asks me for a plus two, you better have a real fucking good justification for who that second person is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, why am I giving you
a plus? Oh, so you're bringing a party over? Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right. How many bums do you know? You know what I mean?
I think the plus two is the equivalent to like, hey, do you and your significant other want to come over for dinner? Absolutely. Hey, actually, you know, my brother is in town. Is it all right if he comes? Totally. Then it's like, actually, he's town with his wife and their three kids and my sister too. And it's like, yo, motherfucker, go to ground round. Feeding your whole family. Come on.
Go to ground round. Hold on. Tom, are you playing Space Invaders? What is this noise? Who is this?
Oh, it's my phone vibrating. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. We're hearing it all constant.
Get out. Well, I'm sorry. I'm popular. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all good.
Oh, I mean, this pit report was as long as the show, so I haven't got something else going on.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Perth. I thought it was a nice introduction for me. But if we want to tell the Perth community to fuck off, I guess that we could do that, Tom, if that's not, you know. If that,
nah,
you
know. I would never.
I love Australia.
I love Australia. I'm waiting. Tom, me and you got to keep ourselves in good graces with Australia and their people, because so we can expat as soon as possible. So
that's what I'm saying. I'm sick of this fucking place. I was just talking to David Anthony. He was telling me about the Infest set that he saw last night at Maryland Death Fest. That was all.
Do you think it was better than the Autopsy set?
Maybe better for most people. I don't know. That shit was gross, son.
Patrick, I don't know what we're talking about.
Not a clue.
So Autopsy played Fest.
Let me offend everybody. I don't know, because I don't have to pretend to like this type of music. Go on.
I mean, I don't like it either. We're just all over fucking timeline.
No, yeah. I know. It's just a lot of our listeners, like, this is shit that like gets pushed on me, and I'm like, wait a second, guy. I'm like,
no, it's try hard.
I'm grown.
I'm grown. There was a man and a woman that decided to engage in a sexual act in the middle of the pit.
Wow.
So dude got oral on a girl on the ground in the pit.
I was trying to be top dude. Show. I could have said that.
I know, but I was letting you be proper and then cleaning it up for Patrick. So
people
so
real bummed.
I mean,
but then like the punk people that would like stuff like that were like, you know, like doing like check it out, bro. You know, like, it was something to see. Yeah.
My one friend who attended Maryland Death Fest sent me a picture of the audience, and just the only caption was, all of these people are mentally ill.
So. Listen, but that's kind of the deal, right? This is the only
thing. And he said, but I'm here too. Right. So, you know,
and this is my thing. I don't like that style of music, but one thing I do like about it is everybody that I meet that's like a proper fucking like deranged metalhead is a nice person that I always get on with. You know what I mean? So like I am pained by the poserness, but everybody that really truly loves that shit, I always think is like kind of charming. So I could hang at Maryland Death Fest.
Yeah, just a lot of brain injuries.
A lot of brain injuries. No doubt.
Shout out to Maryland Death Fest. RIP. Apparently, this is the last one.
Last one.
RIP.
It's a big deal.
Heard the Enforced set was banging. So shout out to Enforced. Shout out to Infest. Shout out to Autopsy. Shout out to those lovely people who enjoyed their time. It's cool.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes, you know.
I guess. you guys ready to do some 80s Mosh Madness?
Let's do it.
Today's matchups, today's listening for your ears. Blast, It's In My Blood. And FU's My America. Mm-hmm. Then the other matchup, so to say, for lack of a better term. Verbal Abuse, Just an American Band. And MDC, Millions of Dead Cops. How appropriate. Texas Band. Before we get started, overarching thoughts of the listening exercise.
This one was rough.
I'm the opposite. Yeah. I rather enjoyed this.
I thought it was very solid, like in the most
surprising.
There's a couple, two of these records I forgot that I liked so much. And one just felt like rock solid. And the other, the one I know the most, I'm like, yeah, I am well versed on this. But to me, this felt like a, is this almost meat and potatoes listen with a couple spicy parts. So what were you going to say, PK?
It's meat and potatoes with one exception. You tell me which one, what bracket we're starting with, and I'll tell you if it's in that. But there's two records in here that are utter absolute classics that there's going to be certain people that are kind of almost half annoyed that they ended up in here, right? Like they're going to be a little annoyed because to them, they're classics. To me, they are like properly 80s hardcore of the type that I don't revisit. So like we can get into it, but you tell me where we want to start, because there's one record of these four that I was so fucking blown away by. Like, and it's my favorite thing that I don't know if it's my favorite thing that we listened to, because I'm sure that we'd have to revisit everything, but like, it's going to go far for me. We'll see if it wins for you guys, but
good.
It's going to go far for me.
Good. Good. Tom, you pick. Where are we starting? Blast and the FUs or Verbal Abuse and MDC?
Let's go Verbal Abuse and MDC.
All right. Verbal Abuse, Just an American Band, released in 1984. What's the label this came out on? Let me pull it up. Oakland Band, originally started in Texas, but they're a Bay Area band, on Foul Records. And MDC, Millions of Dead Cops, released in 1982, nuts. This record was totally nuts, on R Radical Records, which I think they've done a few other things. Did they do the Offenders singles, maybe? They did a DRI, BGK. I think they did an Offenders single, too. Yep, they did some of the Offenders records. So Dave Dichter from MDC's label is R Radical, so self-released even. These two records were interesting to me. Not a million miles apart, but very different. And I almost feel that two-year difference in sound when I think about MDC and Verbal Abuse. What was your level of familiarity, both of you, with Verbal Abuse before this listen? Any?
Very, very limited.
Yeah, limited.
One of those, like, just like, I got to listen to this because it's part of, like, the history.
Yeah,
sure.
And then I never necessarily went back.
Mm-hmm. No, Patrick?
Exact same.
Okay. And how about MDC?
More familiar with MDC.
Yeah.
Lyrically, and just, you know.
Yeah, I would say I had a little, if I'm being real, I heard MDC first, but then I probably heard Verbal Abuse more, which is a weird thing to say, but it's all on timing. Verbal Abuse, this record kind of got a lot of shine in the early aughts by the like 80s hardcore enthusiasts, right? And so it hit my radar more, Whereas Millions MDC, like this is a, Millions of Dead Cops, it wasn't a starter punk record. But if you heard it early, it could be, and it kind of should be a starter hardcore record, I think.
Absolutely.
But I always left it on the shelf. I never really revisited it. I don't know if I ever owned a copy of it. Whereas Verbal Abuse, once it started getting a lot of talk, there may have even been a reissue or something, or it became more easy to get, and or it got bootlegged. But I had it and would listen to it with some regularity. Which is not to say it's better or more important. I actually don't think it is. I was pretty excited to have both of these and to listen. MDC stands out to me. I think that record is really good. It feels very 82 because this is a hardcore punk record that doesn't feel like it's overtly influenced by Negative Approach or Minor Threat or the Boston scene. It's kind of in the ether, but it's like, oh, you heard Black Flag, you heard,
you know what I hear in this stuff.
Go ahead.
That for MDC, you know, like I think like there's so much stuff that we listen to that's like through a Bad Brains lens.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I think this has some Bad Brains to it, but okay. Something that I heard, and it probably doesn't work out time wise, but mm-hmm. I hear a lot of Minutemen in it.
I could hear that, or pulling from a similar well, like
the Minutemen Firehose, like Take the Bass for a Walk, kind of Mike Watt,
kind of
stuff. And I don't know, that's how it struck me. It was like the most of the four that was like the outlier in terms of stuff like that. Like to me, like the FUs and verbal abuse were very cut from the very like very similar cloth.
Yes,
And MDC was kind of like outside that kind of purview just because it had like that weird sort of had some of the weird like kind of stops and starts that the Bad Brains always used, like they're like drum rolls shreddy guitar thing. And I feel like there's a few songs on here that had like the Mike Watt Minutemen like bassline stuff, bass heavy stuff.
Yo, I'm not, I think that's actually a good poll. I wouldn't have cited Bad Brains, but I think you're right. If you listen to early Bad Brains, so Roar Tape, and even go to like Black Dots, this is faster, but like this is truly a hardcore punk record. Like yes. If somebody just wanted to say, no, this is just a punk record, I'm not mad at you for saying that, because it definitely leans more that way. But it's got all the hardcore energy for me. This is plenty hardcore for me. I was impressed with how much it stands out.
82.
And I was impressed at how much it stood out. I think there's a lot of personality. I think Dave Dichter's vocals are really good, and they aren't pulled in. I don't think they go too far into like any kind of like there's a touch of snottiness, but not in an affected way. It's more in just like personality. So I was surprised and reminded of how good this record is and how much it deserves the attention. I don't know that it gets a lot now. Like, I don't know if this is something.
It gets zero.
Right.
MDC, no, it's just the name.
MDC has been virtually written out. I don't know why that is, but it's virtually written out. And
so, do you think they played too much?
They did. Yeah.
They stuck around.
You
could
see them a couple years. I mean, you probably still see them now.
I think you can.
So, yeah, they continued and they put out records. So this comes out in 82. They put out a record in 86, 87, some weird stuff in 89, 91, 93, 2004, like 2009, 2017, 2020. So like there's a 2020 MDC record. That's a mix of new songs and old songs redone. That's weird, man. And it's folk, world, and country. Oh, weird, man. Millions of Dead Cowboys. Is this just like a country record? I don't even want to acknowledge this exists. Yes. So this is another example of longevity hurting a band. How many times have we hit this already doing 80s Mosh Madness? Like a lot.
Thumbs up.
Absolutely. Thumbs up.
This record rips. This record fucking rips.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say something to our listeners. I think this record rips, but to me it doesn't rip until Corporate Death Burger. I think that if you just put this on, there's going to be a lot of people that go, "Oh, I know what this is," and turn it off. If you listen through, you're going to be rewarded. There's some really clever stuff going on. I don't think you get it in the first two songs. You know what I mean? So to our listeners who think, "Oh, let me just, yeah, I'll give it a whirl." You got to,
let me two track this.
You got, yeah, yeah. Go further than the two tracks, because I think that there's a couple things going on here. A lot of these records, everything this week gets interesting. Even the stuff that I think is very by the numbers, which is unfair because some of it's so early that it's not fair to call it by the numbers. But even the by the numbers material, I think has some really interesting parts. This record, I think you're rewarded four songs in. And the other thing is this might be why it's written out to a degree. This more than almost anything we've encountered is stuck in its time period forever. Because a song about McDonald's is so fucking lost on somebody in 2022 that referencing John Wayne is lost.
This is a 40-year-old record, right? Yeah. Like straight up.
And it sounds like it, but here's the thing. Which Minor Threat record came out in 82? Like it doesn't, yeah. That doesn't sound stuck. No, Bad Brains doesn't sound stuck. This, by virtue of the lyrics, and look, this is like an interesting conversation. Should hardcore age like wine, or should it age like milk? Because if it's a commentary on what's going on right at the time that this fucking shit is written, it's always going to age poorly. That's the nature of it, right? So if you want hardcore that is kind of Reagan era by nature, and unafraid of that.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. This is a really good fucking record, but if you are... If you need to connect with what you're hearing, this might be lost on a lot of our listeners.
Yo, you know what? There's a lot of that, this record, that would be, because it feels very of a time. However, on this listen through, I was like, wow. 1982, no war, no KK, no fascist USA is the chorus to the third track on this record. Mm-hmm. Whether you feel like that or not, yo... That's literally something that was being chanted in the streets, like, or a variant of that.
Weeks ago. Yep.
Yes, correct. So there's some resonance, and it kind of like it when listening to this record, it brought me to that a conversation that used to happen, which was, yo, do we need any more like anti-racist songs? Like, aren't we beyond that? Do you guys remember those conversations?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's do we need to write like an anti-Nazi song? I don't know that anyone's saying that now. I largely agree. Go ahead.
That's a good point, actually. Like the built-in ironies of these things, you know what I mean? Is to be like, oh God, we're doing one of these again. And then, time.
There we are. time smacks you in the ass.
Time echoes.
Yeah. So that is, this is a record that is lyrically has a lot of, in the moment, but I also, you said it, it's clever. There's some neat stuff going on here. And I think this was more important than people recognize, because much like DRI in our last Mosh Madness, this was a lot of people had this record, and this was a big record. The imagery alone and the title being Millions of Dead Cops sang to people even in the 80s. There's this shocking energy to it, a starkness to it. But then you listen to the music, and it's not just like poop punk. It's good. So I think that we actually end up hearing this in a lot. And I when I listened to this record, I was thinking about how this band and Reagan Youth have always kind of been on this weird island to me.
Sure.
And not that those two bands are the same, but I always kind of put them there. And when I was listening to this record, I was like, you know what? I hear this in certain New York hardcore that would come a little later. Like, I actually hear some of the personality and energy from this. And that Bad Brains comparison was interesting because like, I think the Bad Brains were super influential on New York hardcore, but they weren't able to necessarily pull it off because nobody's got a voice like HR. And then that might be the least competent part of the Bad Brains, you know what I mean, in terms of their ability to do stuff. But MDC's attainable, and I think that they had a bigger influence on hardcore and punk than a lot of people are willing to acknowledge, despite the fact that they're kind of this different strain. Like yo, Minor Threat and Discord have a sound. Negative Approach, that Midwest sound, has a sound. Boston has a sound. Like the X-Claim stuff. This is none of those things, but it is a peer to those things. It's happening at the same time. So, yeah, I think this was one that on listen, I was like, oh, I really got to give this more time and attention. Like, this deserves to be in, you know, I'm not going to be listening to it weekly, but like, this should be in the classic hardcore rotation.
Yes. I don't know how often, I mean, I would cut this down to fucking five tracks, but that's still pretty impressive. So, I think that it's, again, it's just a little caught in amber, but for a lot of our listeners, that might be a totally fascinating historical document. So people should check it out on a couple levels.
Verbal Abuse, Just an American Band. So this record to me, I said it feels 84. This to me feels very post Negative Approach. They probably are aware of Poison Idea, aware of Discord and Minor Threat. It's chunky, it's fast hardcore, but in a more familiar way than, say, MDC, in terms of like, oh, I know a lot of these sounds.
Yeah, it's almost too straightforward at times. Like, I don't want to low rate it, but it's like, if I believe that this is what many of our listeners who don't listen to 80s hardcore think of when they hear the term 80s hardcore.
And they're not wrong.
Yeah. I think it's just,
I mean, it's weird though, because this is like, how could you be mad at them for being stale when they wrote part of the book?
That's why I'm not trying to low rate this at all. Like, it is, I enjoyed it. I thought it was more manic than my memory of this was not quite as manic. Like, it's manic. It's a really fun record, but in the same way that there's no way to look at MDC through the eyes of 1982, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way for me to do that. There is no way for me to hear this record and not think, wow, that is so fucking it's the archetype without being the recognized archetype, meaning that it's just possible.
You're hitting it.
It's possible to feel rote. Do you know what I mean? And it's unfair. So,
yes. Despite this being super competent, having some songs that I think are really good, I actually think it hits this like great. I think the first song's great, and then I think there's a groove from the third, fourth, fifth, sixth song are really, really good. Man, so I think the first half of the record is really good. This is where you start to see hardcore is now a genre, like, and there's a sound, and there's a codification of that sound a bit. This is at the high end of it. It's charging, it's pushing forward, it's almost like nonstop. They get playful at the end with, you know, the American Band song or whatever.
How weird is this week's listen for this.
Did we get two of those?
Yeah.
Yes. Very, weird. Very odd. So this band, just kind of put it out there. They're in San Francisco by this point, or Oakland. I'm sorry, not San Francisco. I should say Oakland, Oakland or San Francisco, whatever. They're in the Bay. This is decidedly not like alternative tentacles, Bay Area punk stuff. And if you listen to a lot of things going on, that was like infectious. This is influenced by Midwest and East Coast hardcore, but on the West Coast. And I think that's notable too, because it's sort of like, well, how do you quantify these things? Like, who has this band like appear to locally? And there's some stuff, but not a lot. Like, I place them closer to Poison Idea than I do alternative tentacle stuff. And there's a few elements where you can tell this guy likes to play guitar, not as much as the bands on the other side of the bracket here. But like, I think there's a few rock elements, but largely this is just when you hear someone say, this is just a really good 80s hardcore record. This is it. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but if you're coming looking for like a something that stands outside of it, I don't know if you're going to get it here. I think this is just like, this is, Tom, name me a pitcher. This is David Cohn, right? Like, David Cohn was a great pitcher.
Yeah,
I think he threw a couple threw a few no hitters, maybe. But yeah, always was really
Jack and Squeed in the bullpen. But I mean, whatever.
Hey, verbal abuse
part
is
of the legacy.
Verbal abuse is David Cohn of 80s hardcore. He was great. He was never quite Dwight Gooden, but he was never 1990 Dwight Gooden either.
Right.
So
yeah, I think this is like incredibly good standard mid-80s hardcore. Like, I was actually more impressed with this than I was expecting to be.
Yeah, I think this is really good. And the notable part of it is that this had a moment where it became kind of part of the canon, and I think it gets referenced in the American Hardcore book. Sure. They talk about verbal abuse. But I don't think this was a band who got a ton of note before that, because they were never on one of the big labels till much later. No. You know what I mean?
And so verbal assault kind of doesn't help.
Yes, exactly.
Confusion in the marketplace for a lot of folks.
Yes, exactly right. And two bands that couldn't be more different. Verbal Assault.
Right, right.
Mid-late 80s melodic to, you know, fast Rhode Island right. hardcore.
I'm saying just a name. I think it fucked
100%. It's fucked me up for a long time as a young dude. So, Verbal Abuse. This is a really good record. Who is this for in 2022?
Restraining Order.
Yeah, it's the easiest pick. It's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
If you are in the pocket for that type of, like, you know, you know what you're getting, but it's also so fucking good at what it is that if that's what thrills you, this is 100% for you. And
here's my question, though.
Yeah,
how many people are that are like that? I feel like it's almost like Restraining Order, The Fight, like C4. Like, there's very few. Like, I feel like in hardcore, like those bands cross over and do great with everybody, but they don't almost have their own lane. Like, you'll see, like, you know, Restraining Order will play with, like, you know, more metallic hardcore bands, and same thing with C4. Like, I feel like this is almost like Restraining Order, like, on a larger national scale, but like, this is what kills at like a fucking, you know, a fucking Hank Wood and the Hammerhead show.
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, yes.
Or like a fucking Warthog show is more along these lines.
Okay. So that's actually a good point. So a thing that I've been thinking about, and tell me if I'm articulating this correctly or not, and I'll know if you understand what I mean at all. is there any winner to the, like, is there any top dog, I should say, not winner. Is there any top dog to straightforward hardcore right now?
Like, I mean, I think it would be Restraining Order.
Would Restraining Order think that about themselves? What I mean by that is there, okay, so all
now the, well, because we this eventually falls into scene like aesthetic placement and stuff.
100%
There's going to be a lot of people who go Warthog, right? Warthog is an easy answer for this.
But, right, if they dress differently, they'd be a hardcore band.
100% Except, right, but they don't.
And some kids, they're like, no, they're a hardcore punk band. It's like, well, the same, you know,
it's a fucking potato, hardcore potato. Band. I'm sorry to break it to everybody. It's a fucking hardcore band.
Yeah. No, I mean, so there's a. Same time as Sound and Fury, there's a big fest going on in LA that's more like that stuff. And I think Warthog's the headliner, or one of them. The Impalers is a good answer. I don't know how active they are. Restraint Order is a great answer. They're pretty universal. There's a few others that I think you'd put there.
Wait, hold
the
on.
Thing,
Bob, here's my question, though, so just so I'm framing it right.
Yes, please.
I'm not talking about sound. Like we can talk, we all enjoy Restraining Order, and we can talk about some of the other bands that might give them a run for their money. I'm talking about, is there a that style of hardcore that can headline that can be the headliner of that scene? Is that a thing? Does that make more sense?
Yes, it's just, is there one right now? Maybe not. Not sure. You know what I mean? It's that scene.
Like a rival mob?
Yeah,
like a rival mob. Like rival mob during their time, at least for a moment of their time, was that, right? So like
Sure. There's so many examples of that, but it's every few years, right? Like, so for a minute it was bands like Government Warning. Fucked Up was that for a minute, you know? Before that, you might even get into something like Tear It Up was that. There's all that kind of stuff that's in the like, this is fast, hardcore punk, straightforward, 80s influence, blah, blah, blah. Rival Mob's probably one of the most recent examples that did very well, you know?
I'm talking about like
really,
proper room.
And really bled lines, you know what I mean? And played to, so yeah, you get that every few years. Right now, Restraining Order's probably the closest thing we have to that.
Okay.
And they got some big tours coming up, playing to very outside of their audience. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
Love it.
So my big argument for Verbal Abuse, because we're all saying this is really good, not like, you know, none of us are like, this was a revelation. Yo, even when we say that, for some, like, it's like how you get hit by these things, you know? We had a friend of the show hit us about the Battalion of the Saints record, and was like, yeah, that's it for me, you know? So that's why it's worth giving these records a try, because Verbal Abuse might just click with someone, like, They could click on two or three of these songs. It's like, oh, damn, that's great. But with that said, between Verbal Abuse, Just an American Band, and MDC, Millions of Dead Cops, what are you picking? Tom, start us off.
All right. Coming in, I was like, it's definitely going to go this way. Mm-hmm. But then after listening to both, I will probably listen to Verbal Abuse more often than MDC, so my vote is for Verbal Abuse.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually going the opposite direction. I thought that neither of these are probably going to get too many plays from me, but MDC has like, I mean, that for me personally and where I'm at in my life, the parts of it that I'm saying are alienating to some listeners are totally engaging to me. Like, and I
it's like, I remember Reagan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that like, when he's the chorus is Ronald McDonald, I'm like, fuck, like it's so beyond the understanding of certain people. And I'm in.
Yeah. It's MDC for me. It's MDC for me. I think it's a great record. I think these are both very good records. MDC just stuck to me much more this time and maybe clicked with me in a way that it hadn't before in a like repeat listen way. And I got to say, this was headphones listen for both these records. I don't know if I've ever headphones listened to MDC before, and I found a lot in it. So, all right.
But I think we would all recommend, if you haven't heard either of these records, to really check them out.
Oh, yeah.
You will not be disappointed. Yeah, they're both good records. They're both quite good records.
No, 100%. I mean, I think that's by the way, there's few and far between, I think, in this list of 68 records that we are doing that are not worth checking out. So maybe a couple, and you'll hear us. But at the same time, you check it out because you hear us talk about shit that you say sucks every day. So, you know, whatever. Blast, It's in My Blood, and FU's My America. Where overall, two very different sounds.
Yes.
Blast, It's in My Blood came out on SST in 87. It's their second LP. And FU's My America came out on Exclaim in 83, and it's their first LP.
Can I
first LP, but Kill for Christ 12 inch came out the year before, also on Exclaim. So
does this require when the umpires meet? Does this I'm going to
yeah ask, yeah yeah let's have a huddle here. Yeah,
you're having a bench conference like we're in court.
Yes, the Blast record, I'm not listening to the original recording. I'm listening.
You didn't?
I'm listening to I did, but I so this is what I'm going
to
talk about.
You listen to the Dave Grohl version?
No, I don't think there's a Dave Grohl version, is there?
That is the if you're listening to the Southern Lord one, that's the Dave Grohl version.
He played drums on it.
It is so fucking good. I can't even describe how good it is. Like the original, now I've heard this record a number of times. I like it. I fucking love the remaster, remix, whatever the fuck it is.
Dave Grohl, Stan.
I fucking love it. It is so goddamn good. It's the best thing that we've listened to by a mile. And I was so fulfilled by this listen that it was the first thing I listened to. And then when I had to listen to the other bands, I kept going back to it. It is fantastic. I did it, and then I did a side by side with the original recording, and
yeah,
I understand why the band a record I did give a fair shot in the past just mm-hmm. did not hit my ears like this. And this is probably a very obvious comparison, but I did not hear it very directly prior to this listen. Even though it's the most direct comparison I think I can think of, I love Swizz. This is doing everything that Swizz does. And if you love Swizz, then, and you're just, for whatever reason, California stuff is just not on your, you know, because this is one of those bands that East Coasters just kind of wasn't baked in like a lot of the stuff. Like, you guys tell me, was this in your first 10 records?
Not my first 10. Not my first 10, but it was
to
later.
Me, yeah. This was written off as Black Flag Worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's what's crazy to me. It's not, this record to me is not at all. Like, I'd always...
You're missing it then. You're missing
I'd always
it.
Heard
this is,
that.
It's so Black Flag.
Listen.
It is
It's Black well Flag. Done.
To me,
it's so well done. It's taking it to the next step.
This is more rock, more let me put it, more successfully rock than Black Flag is. At any point in Black Flag's career,
I don't think that's a no disagreement at all. They took Black Flag and said, we love early Black, we love Damaged, but we really love what they started doing on My War, Slip It In, Loose Nut, but we hate the production and we think we can do more with this, and went chunkier with it. And like, that's the story of Blast. Like, I have friends, many friends actually in New Jersey, this Blast kind of was a thing. Who got way in, and like even Take the Manic Ride, like the third LP, like people were way in because they just were able to more successfully, like these dudes had rock chops that I think extended beyond what like Greg Ginn and his thin production guitar were, because it's heavy in a way that you want Black Flag material to go, but never does it on the studio albums.
I understand that. Like, so what Tom just said is what I had always heard, like Black Flag, Rip, or whatever. I think that, you know, I'm not the biggest Black Flag fan in the world. This is established. Mm-hmm. Bob, what you just said is accurate. Like, this ratchets up everything that there is to like in Black Flag, unless you are into the very challenging parts of Black Flag. This is not a challenging record. This is a very fun fucking listen. There's weird stuff happening, but it's a very fucking fun listen. I was like mind blown at how this alternative mix or whatever the fuck this is could bring out the songs in a way that I was so jazzed on. And I really urge our listeners to do at least a side by side on, you know, the first two songs, whatever. If you have the same experience I do.
I listened to the original version because it's the one I knew and wanted to give the original spin. The redone version is amped up and it just sounds better, I think, for many reasons. One being that Dave Grohl is a pretty awesome drummer.
Does he actually play on it? I know he mixed. So I'm seeing that he mixed it. Did he actually play on it?
Yeah, he redid the drums.
Okay.
Yeah. a record that meant a lot to him. This record. So Power of Expression is very good. Also got reissued as The Expression of Power. You might want to check that out, Patrick. But this one, I think they kind of honed in the sound totally. I think it's heavy and hard without mosh parts. Like, there's not a mosh part to be found on this record, I think, really. It takes the SST sound that you know from Black Flag, some Minutemen stuff, like the scaling, they just do it and go, oh, we're going to apply this with a rock sensibility and a heavier rock. Like, if you told me these guys really knew like heavy rock of the 70s, I'd go, yeah, that makes sense, because they're doing something that does, like, they almost dirge at parts and they just know how to do it. Your comparison in Swizz is really interesting too, because Swizz does some similar things in a different way, where you hit the heavy, hard, gnarly, but without any sense of like a mosh part to be found. You know what I mean? And song structure wise, they're both doing something that's closer to one another than you would put to some of the other stuff peer wise. It's In My Blood is an awesome record that, as I mentioned, like in New Jersey, because there was a lot of Black Flag love, Blast just made sense and became like a secondary thing. But it wasn't everywhere. And I think this band might have gotten lost in the sands of time, despite the fact that, like, yo, they were great. There was a time where they were like, there's elements of skate rock in their sound, even though I would not call it skate rock. Because it's too hard. It's too rockin' and too crunchy in the sound. So, this record, I think the song Something Beyond is a highlight. I think Looking to Myself is a highlight. I really like the first song, Only Time Will Tell. This is a fantastic record. Tom.
Yeah, you know, it was something that was like written off in my age range and in New York as like a bad, like a just... You know, a Black Flag tribute record. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think that like it's to me they're more known for their name and like the way they spell it,
the BL apostrophe AST.
Yeah, which is cool. You know, like
proto SEO, by the way.
Really? Yeah, I mean, you can actually search them and find it, and not get an FBI agent at your fucking front door. I think it's a great, like, greatest hits, Black Flag greatest hits. It's like the first, like, whatever, the first 6 years of Black Flag played by maybe better musicians.
Yo, you know what? Ooh, wow, that's it. It's just different. Like, in the studio, the production choices on. So here's the big rub. Production choices on Black Flag post Damaged are almost never what anyone wanted. My War, acceptable. Slip It In, okay. But they're really starting to lose the plot with the guitar sound. It's single. It sounds like it's one guitar. We talk about it. We talk about it. Yeah, it's just thin, even though the sound is going heavier. It's like, yo, you're slowing it down. You're getting heavier. You're doing more stuff. But you've decided to do something wacky with the guitar sound. If you want to hear those songs in the best possible way, listen to Live 84, listen to Who's Got the 10.5, because you hear it in the live setting. The guitar sound is so much heavier that you're actually like, oh my God, okay, this must be what people find and like. And you hear all those mid and late era songs in such a different way. By the way, even if you're like, live records, they're well recorded and well mastered and mixed. Like they sound great. But you hear these songs in such a different way that like I rarely go back to studio versions. I love Loose Nut. I listen to Who's Got the 10.5 10 times before I listen to Loose Nut on studio recording. I can't tell you the last time I put on Slip It In. Blast is almost like, Multiverse is a big thing right now, Variant Timelines and all that. Blast is a version of, okay, let's split the timeline at Damaged. This is a direction that I think Black Flag could have gone, where it's like, hey, we're going to take the Damaged sound and still stick with it, but we're going to get heavier in the same way that Black Flag got heavy, but just with better production, a little more adherence to like, hey, we like punk music and like some faster parts. Whereas with the later Black Flag materials, it really steps it down a notch and they're doing some weird stuff. So could Blast have existed without Black Flag? No chance. Definitely informs their sound almost wholly. But I would love to, and I'm sure there's some material out there, have someone say, look, you guys clearly love Black Flag, and no one would deny that, but what did they do wrong that you guys wanted to do differently? And I think that's where you get this sound and why I think it's such a fun and interesting listen. And Tom, you're totally right. This band was not just one, they would cop to being heavily Black Flag influenced, but they were kind of like decried as a Black Flag rip.
I think it's totally unfair.
It's not untrue, but it's unfair, right? Is that a fair way to
write them off because of it is unfair?
Well, because so, it's not a lie, but it's also like, yeah, but there's so much more meat on this bone than just saying, oh, Black Flag ripoff. There are Black Flag ripoffs that you can write off. This is not one.
So there's a current band that I'm sure that you two fellas probably like the record and would probably like to talk about it, and I'm going to duck it when it comes time to talk about it because it's too close to something that I like to the point that I can't find myself enjoying it. And I'm the most victimized by that. If something's too close to something I like, for some reason I don't like it. It's just that it's a weird bad habit that I got. And this doesn't apply here because I'm not a crazy Black Flag fan, but I really think that anybody that has dismissed this record as that is not considering just how rock this record is. It's just completely, to me, Black Flag, as you pointed out, a lot of decisions are made to stick their finger in the eye of the listener, not to make them enjoy it.
That's right. That's right.
This is, if you took all of the pleasurable elements of Black Flag and put them into a very concentrated mix. I think it's there's songs on here that are weird, but they're never so weird that you don't feel like you're going to get a truly fucking driving, ripping, awesome bass part at any moment. And I don't get that out of Black Flag.
For both of you, on this listen, and it could be the new version too, will this inspire you to check out the other Blast records?
Yes.
Yes, except this falls later. And
this is the mid record, yeah.
So I'm confident, and I could be wrong. It would be counter to every fucking hardcore band that ever existed if the earlier material was more rockin' than this material.
More rockin'. The next record is more rockin'.
Well, take the Manic Riot. Still good. Actually, this we listened to this for. Did we do Hardcore 89? Because
maybe
this, I believe we've listened to relatively recently, and I remember liking, but I'm sorry. I'm going to gush one more time. Whatever Southern Lord did, whatever chicanery Dave Grohl, this evil fucking wizard did, it's awesome.
Here's my final Blast question for both of you. And I guess more Patrick because he went with the reissue, which if people aren't aware, came out 2013 on Southern Lord. It's called Blood with an exclamation point. It's on streaming. You can do the side by side very easily. Would you recommend that to a young listener in 2022? Does it still feel vital and fresh and interesting? The reissue version.
I would recommend it before I'd recommend the original.
In general, you think a young listener can hear this and go, oh my God, this is, you know, 100%. In the same way as we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. 100%. I think that the original, again, I've listened to the original at least twice in my life and said, huh. I didn't say, this time. You know what I mean? I said, holy fucking shit. That's a fucking great bass part. And holy shit, that was a clever vocal part. And holy shit, that guitar riff. Like, I never did that on the original. On the original, it literally washed over me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I'm putting that down to production because these songs are fucking good. So there's got to be some type of difference. And I think that to a young person, whether this is good or bad, there's a cleanliness to this that I think makes a lot of sense to younger ears.
On the other side, we have FU's My America. 83, X-Clean Records. If you're at all familiar with early 80s Boston, this is squarely in that wheelhouse. Do you agree?
100%, but not given nearly a credit.
No, you're totally right.
As an outsider, as someone who didn't listen to this often, this is just as good as SSD or DYS.
Oh, I'd say it's,
yeah,
it's kind of better than...
It might be better. I didn't want to say that. Albarelle still exists.
This is no knock, but in some respects, it's better. My only thing is like, it goes snotty, and I would take kind of the hard, like the
joke. Yeah, you have to wait. You have to get into it. You have to wait through the record to get to that snotty. But you're right, it does, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it's like they kind of get like, I don't want to say goof punk, but they get like a little gangrene or something. You know what I mean? Like they get a little.
Well, they get mid era. Like so Gangrene's another great example. The earliest Gangrene material is all so fucking good, but then they get silly.
Yeah.
Boston. I think every one of these Boston bands has that moment, whether it's SSD doing a Christmas song, whether it's DYS doing the Lady of the Lake. Like they get silly with their shit, but. But this record starts out just on a burner, especially listening to it comparison with Blast. I want to say there's a manic energy and speed to this that when I compare 80s hardcore and hardcore of the last 10, even 15 years, 80s hardcore doesn't have that level of complete manic, like, it has the speed, but it's done in more kind of like concentrated places as opposed to more recent fast hardcore where it's like the speed feels like it's trying to go 90 miles per hour on the edge of a cliff. And I catch some of that on this record. And I think that's one thing where I was like, oh, you know what? Of the early 80s records and even 80s hardcore in general records that we've talked about, maybe giving a Trash Talk fan or, you know, somebody who likes the Youth Attack stuff of the last few years, like the really pulsating, like fast stuff, giving them this FU's record, it's different, but it's not going to feel a billion miles away. And especially early on, it's going to be able to pull them in a little bit.
So I think that this Boston and say like Jerry's Kids or whatever, like that sort of shit is way faster than people think. And what I think is that the majority of Boston influenced bands that we hear now are much, much closer to, Tom, what is that word that I don't say correctly when it's, it begins with an O and it's somebody's complete work.
Au
revoir.
Au revoir.
I think that
Hoover.
I think the material that we say is Boston influenced that is currently playing is in Chokes.
Au revoir.
And it's not Jerry's Kids, and it's not the FUs. You know what I mean?
Well, like, and I'll go even further and say it is more between Last Rites and Slapshot than it is Negative Effects.
Yeah.
Because Negative Effects has moments where it's this fast. but then it slows down. After you use Jerry's Kids, even a lot of the SSD material, SSD is best when it's fast. DYS is best when it's DYS stomps pretty well. SSD is best when it's fast and then uses that speed to go to these hard stops and tempo changes. Like when SSD is blazing and then stops, the drama in Springer's voice and then into that stop energy is so good. This just blasts, and I think vocals are really good. For my taste, I think What You Pay For, probably best song in here. I actually really like Choir Boy. Poor, Poor, Pitiful You is a good song. This is a really, really good Boston hardcore record. Lost in the Shuffle. Tom, you're totally right. Like when people talk about early 80s Boston, they say...
Yeah, they say SSD, DYS, Last mm-hmm. Rites.
Yep. Yeah. Then the other stuff, you know? And
right, because I think this gets thrown in more with the Jerry's Kids and the fucking... And the Freeze and fucking mm-hmm. Gangrene.
Yeah. And I'm here to...
Was that all on that comp together? Is that why I'm thinking of...
This is Boston, not LA? Yeah, probably. I think all those bands are on there.
Why wouldn't this fits in more with the hardcore bands than Gangrene to me?
Oh, yeah. Well, so I got to tell everybody, we need to listen to the good Gangrene material. Because I am a... There's a Gangrene I love, like capital L love, and then there's a Gangrene I don't want anything to do with.
Known you.
Yeah, like but it's one of those bands where it's like, yo, I love this material, which may be as few as like 8 to 10 songs, and then anything else, count me out. I'm not even in the building with it. But yes, Kill for Christ, My America, Jerry's Kids, This Is My World, like yo, those records are as vital, and I'm not going to say better, they're as good or in the same ballpark as SSD, Get It Away, as DYS, Brotherhood, as the Kids. I'll take this record over The Kids Will Have Their Say every day of the week. No question. I'll take Is This My World over The Kids Will Have Their Say. I'll take Negative Effects over The Kids Will Have Their Say. I'll take Kill for Christ over The Kids Will Have Their Say. Get It Away is a different story. I take that over those. But this record is super, super good. It's blasting fast. The big thing, and I was actually thinking about this, is that this is 83. Around this time, even a little later, you start to get that Western Mass stuff, the Deep Wound, Western and Central, Deep Wound, Siege, etc. The difference between early Boston hardcore and then that stuff is early Boston hardcore, every one of these bands is not afraid to, Jerry's Kids is probably the least. None of these bands are afraid to let you know that they love 70s guitar rock.
Oh, yeah.
And with Blast, I'm talking about like heavier stuff, and I'm talking about like, you know, like Sabbath and riffing, etc. These dudes are yo, we kind of love AC/DC, and the Boston solo, you know, self-titled record rocks. And yeah, early Aerosmith kicks it, man. What am I? I'm not going to deny. So you catch that on this record, too. Low key, second to last song on this record, Rifle. Great song. This is a really good record. And I forgot. I haven't listened to the FUs in a long time. I love this record. I probably don't love it as much as I love the Jerry's Kids record, but this record is fucking great.
Okay.
But there can only be one. Yeah. Blast, It's In My Blood, or FU's My America. Patrick, start us off.
I mean, you heard me fucking do my thing. It's obviously Blast. Really? I one last time. It's fucking so good.
I appreciate that. I'm not surprised, but happy to hear your appreciation for it. Tom, where are you at on this one? I think you might be in a different place.
I am in a different place. I'm going to the FU. Sometimes you just like, you know, just like straight ahead. Regular old hardcore punk, and I think they do that quite well.
Tom, you're low key. If it wasn't for the 86 Red Sox, which we like, because the Mets, obviously, you like Boston stuff. I like Boston
hardcore.
Yeah, I know, and I appreciate that. I'm always happy to hear that. For me, it's going to be Blast. I think this one was really tough for me, and I actually was impressed with how different these two records are. it took me multiple listens. My first listen, it was like a lull. I listened to Blast, and then I listened to FU's, and FU's just picked me up with some energy. I was like, all right, cool. But on subsequent listens, I was just grooving in on the Blast record. So it's in my blood. But guys, guess what? It doesn't really matter what we think. It matters what everybody who's listening thinks. Please go ahead and vote on this. Likely the vote will be up on our Twitter and Instagram pages the week after release. Enjoy, vote, and most importantly, go listen to some great hardcore records.
Do that.